class called Culture of Honor, huh? Yeah, all right. glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We're going to try to finish up the fivefold ministry of the gifts tonight before the next exam comes up. Next exam is next week, so they tell me. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to try to finish up the teacher, going to get a little bit of the pastor, and a little bit of the evangelist. So I might be moving a little fast. I always start off and move fast, but I end up, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to follow what he say, tell me to do. So last week we was on the teacher, and again, I need you to reference your scriptures, Ephesians 2:19-20, Ephesians 4:11, and 1 Corinthians 12:28. Always go back and reference those scriptures. Read over them, look at them. We all should know what they say and understand what they're saying. Then that's why we are teaching what we're teaching. And what we're doing, we are reestablishing God's government in the earth realm. He is restoring his government. And so, in terms of the third aspect of this fivefold ministry gifts, which is the teacher, and we should understand that Jesus was the master teacher. He was our example by which the fivefold ministry gifts should teach. Again, Ephesians 19 says that we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God and built up on the foundation. Verse 20 says, built up on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so it says he's the chief cornerstone. Everything else is built up on that. And so the pattern that he laid down, we should be following that same pattern. One of the statements I need to make, first of all, that we left off last week, that the teachers must embrace mystery. That was, I think, the last statement I made in the class last week. The teacher must be willing to embrace mystery. Why? The Word of God in Mark 4 tells us that it is for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So the only way the body of Christ is going to know mysteries is the teacher going to have to, this fivefold ministry gifts is going to have to impart and train the body of Christ into these mysteries. Also, Matthew 13, which is part of the synoptic gospel, and it says the same thing. It is for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so we should, and also in Corinthians, Apostle Paul, the apostle said that when we pray in this unknown language, see, we're not praying unto God, but we are praying mysteries. So we can pray mysteries. We can figure out what these mysteries say, and the Holy Spirit will reveal these mysteries to us. The real change that teachers need to see will come under the leadership of an apostolic and prophetic culture. And so that's why we set that up first, the apostolic and the prophetic. So if a teacher is going to teach, he needs with authority, with power, and teaching the supernatural, he must be under that apostolic and prophetic culture. We are not seeing the supernatural the way we should in the body of Christ because God's government has not been established and restored the way it should. But now that the government is being restored to its original form, the way God established it from the beginning, then we're going to begin to see. We see the supernatural taking effect. We see signs and wonders coming into manifestation. In a supernatural culture, the teachers will teach with supernatural results. And I told you, Jesus was our example. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. He laid the pattern down. So when the teacher teaches, there should be some supernatural results, even in this class. And as the instructors are teaching, we should some someone should be manifesting some supernatural results based on the words that we're teaching to you. So over in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it says that, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil was thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. 36 say, And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. So I'm saying that Jesus was our pattern. So when someone is oppressed by the enemy, then we should be able to do the same thing that Jesus did when he was on the earth. And so we should be able to teach the body of Christ how to do this. And not just teach them, then we should begin to see the manifestation, see the results of these manifestation. When Jesus taught a crowd about the kingdom of heaven, that's basically what he was teaching about, was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where God himself resides, but the kingdom of God is within that. So the kingdom of God is where we, who we are and what we are. And so what, turn to Romans. The whole while he was teaching, he began to teach about the kingdom of God. He was telling about the supernatural kingdom that we was coming into. And so when the disciples asked him, was he getting ready to restore the king over in Acts, restore the king to the kingdom to the kingdom of Israel, he wasn't talking about a physical kingdom at this time. He was talking about a supernatural kingdom that everybody who believes come into this supernatural kingdom. And so let's talk about the kingdom of God. Our apostle been ministering on it, so we're going to give you some scriptures to go along with it and see what the kingdom of God, see what the kingdom of heaven is. Turn to Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 17. Romans chapter 14, 17. He says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he let us know right here that this kingdom that he's referring to is not a natural kingdom. He's saying it's not something that you see or something that you feel, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We know we who are in the body, we have been made righteous. We are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. We know that Jesus, when he came in, they said he was going to restore this government back up on his shoulder. And when he stole the government up on his shoulder, it said, of the peace that he brings, there shall be no end. And they say, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So in Isaiah 9 and 6, in that area, it told us how this kingdom was going to be reestablished. And so this is part of this government that God set up. Also, he said joy in the Holy Ghost. And so that was one of the reasons that Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they received the promise of their Father, which he was going to send to them. Over in Acts 1 and 8, 1, 5, Acts 1, 5, 7, 8, in that area, he told them. And then he said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto Jesus until in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and until the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he said, joy in the Holy Ghost. So that's what this kingdom is about. And so it's a supernatural kingdom. And let's go a little bit further. Let's turn over to Luke and see how Jesus described this kingdom. That's the Apostle Paul, the way he said it. And over in Luke chapter 17, verse looking at verse 20, Luke 17 and 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God, so you cannot see it with your physical eyes. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Then he goes a little bit further. He said, neither shall you say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he came on the inside of us. He brought that kingdom of God on the inside of us. So the kingdom of God is within you. And so now, when we begin to operate, we're not looking for a kingdom of God on the outside. We're looking for the kingdom of God within us. So we should go in us where the Holy Spirit is, where Jesus is on the inside of us, and begin to operate in this kingdom. When we want something from the kingdom of God, we should go within us. And that's why when we put the word of God in us to know what the kingdom has to offer, and when we know what it has to offer, then we can go within ourselves, within us, and we got this awesome kingdom in us, the mighty kingdom of God, created in the image of God. And so whatever the kingdom of God has to offer, then we can also create, manifest those things. And so once we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in that the kingdom is in us, and then where Jesus operated when he was on the earth, then we can begin to do the same thing and manifest those things in the earth realm. But we have to know that. So Jesus, when he was here, he always showed them the kingdom. He said, the Son of God was manifested that he may destroy the works of the devil. So he came in. Anything that was not operating according to the way the kingdom operates, Jesus eliminated. We are to do the same thing. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. And what he was saying was, when I go to my Father, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send the same helper, the same individual that I had when I was here on earth, to do the same thing. So you should be able to do the exact same thing that I did when I was here. But we have to know that. We have to be trained in that. We have to understand that we can do these things. Turn to Luke again, Luke chapter 40. He always showed them the kingdom. Jesus always, always. Nothing came up that was not part of the kingdom. And again, we can go back to our prayer in Luke when our disciples asked him how to pray. And he told them how to pray. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, he said, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we have to know that the same thing that God will for us is have the same thing happen on earth as it is in heaven. Over in Luke chapter 4, looking at verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40, and the statement I made, he always showed them the kingdom. He said in Luke 40, he said, now when the sun was setting, all they that had there was nothing that could come to him, and he could not eliminate it. So there's that thing again, with God, all things are possible. He said, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He said, he laid his hand on every one of them and healed them all. He said, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he rebuked them again. He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Again, turn to Luke 6, 17. And like I said, when the enemies, devils should know who we are. Remember the over in that book of Acts, when the sons of Sceva, they went in and they tried to cast the devils out of that man, and they say, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? See, if you go and try to do something not knowing who you are and who the kingdom is in you, then the enemy, he's going to say, you don't have nothing. You don't have no power. You have no authority because you don't know that the kingdom resides on the inside of you. The same kingdom that was in Jesus resides on the inside of us. And since it does, then the same thing that Jesus did when he was here, we can do those exact same things. Same works, same works. Over in Luke chapter 6, looking at 17 again, Luke 6:17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So when we begin to manifest like Jesus did, then we won't have to worry about the world coming to us. Where are they going to come when we begin to manifest? Romans 8, 14, 15, 16, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then it tells us, spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. But right after that, it says, and the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for everybody. Is waiting for us to manifest in the earth so they can come. They can have somewhere to come when they have problems, when they have diseases. They say, the only solution to our diseases, man can't heal them. And so since man can't heal them, we need somebody who can take care of these problems that we have, these situations. And so they are waiting for us to manifest. And guess what? We are being trained to manifest in the earth realm as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Let's go to Luke 9:1. And so he left it for us to do. And he gave us a pattern over in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and like I say, he always gave us this pattern. He said in Luke 9:1, he said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. It seemed like diseases, even back then, was a big situation. Even today, diseases, besides lack and poverty, the other part of the body of Christ not having is sicknesses and diseases. And so if we can eliminate the sickness and disease and the lack of poverty, we got them both in our hand here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Word Life Christian Center. And so the gospel is being ministered to us so we can operate in the full gospel. Yeah, the Word of God said we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And one thing, there was only three things that was in that curse. And that was sickness and disease, lack and poverty, and the second death. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we eliminated second death because we're going to live on eternally with God forever. And so that part was eliminated. So the other part was the physical aspect of it, which is lack and poverty, and we have to be trained in that aspect of it, and sickness and disease. We have to know what Jesus already provided for us on the cross, the finished work on the cross. It was done. He took away every sin, every iniquity that was against us. We was justified, so we came into the kingdom, and now that we are in the kingdom, we should be able to operate in the kingdom the way Jesus operated when he was here. We have to know that. We have to be able to do it. So here again in Luke chapter 9, it said, then he called his 12 disciples, just like, when he told us, gave us the great commission to go and preach this good news to every creature. And he wanted us to let us know what Jesus did. He said he called his 12 and gave them power and authority over devils. That was before they became filled with the Holy Ghost. So he imparted his spirit to them, them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So that is again. And so, again, we can go back and look at that scripture again in John 10:10, where it says, Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If we're not having that abundant life here on the earth, we're not living in the kingdom of God the way God said it. We're in the wrong side of the kingdom. We are on Satan's side, and we're not in the parts where Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That's that abundant life he's talking about. His disciples, Jesus' disciples, was in a never-ending classroom experience. So wherever he went, whether people needed provisions, whether they need food, wherever he went, they always knew that he was going to do. He was going to take care of that situation. Whatever it was, Jesus said he always knew what he was going to take care of it. Teachers must take the passion and the revelation of the apostles and prophets and show us how it becomes truth that we apply to our lives. Turn to Acts chapter 1. We have to be able to apply these truths to our lives. And so if we're not applying them to our lives, then it makes the Bible seem like Numbers 23:19 is not what it should say, what it is. It said God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good. So if God said it in his word, then it should come to pass. That's number 23. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. I always like this scripture. I meditate it. I go over it and see what Jesus, the prophet, prophesied about what was going to happen. Isaiah 53. Truth. Apply this truth to our life. We'll start with verse 2, Isaiah 53, verse 2. I'll tell you what. I go over to verse 1, I read from there. He said, "Who hath believed thy report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, and we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." This is the prophet talking about Jesus, but he was talking about it like he was in the present tense, but he was prophesying what was going to happen in the future. And so he was telling us this is when Jesus comes, this is what's going to happen. In verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." We are healed. It is a done deal. Jesus took care of that on the cross. And so we get that in our spirits. We understand it. We know it. We know that it's a finished work, that he's already taken care of it. And so when the enemy come and try to put sickness and disease on you, you should understand. You should know. When they give you a bad report, you should be able to say, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." And so he said, "With his stripes we are healed." So we can take that word, we can use it. And it's a word from Almighty God. So that if you don't see it, if you don't understand it, yeah, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, and it'll get in that kingdom that's within you. And so once it gets in that kingdom, it's on you. When you need it, you can withdraw from it. It's just like a bank account. It's in that bank account, and you can go in and withdraw from that bank account that's within that kingdom within you. That's in the kingdom within you. The role of the teacher is to help to replicate the processes of the supernatural and then train and equip the saints to cooperate with the processes. So part of the fivefold ministry gifts, again, it goes back. You go to Ephesians 4:11. It says that we was given these gifts, these graces. We was given apostles. We was given prophets. We was given teachers. We was given pastors and evangelists. And it says for the maturing of the saints. So that was this for this fivefold ministry gifts. Not just by teaching, but there's some impartation that takes place from these gifts that God has put, these graces that God has put in. There always has to be impartation. If you go back and look through scripture, as men of God followed other men of God who God has set up, then he had put a mantle on these gifts. And say, for instance, right now, we are under an apostle here at Word Life Christian Center. We who are under that apostle, we can do the exact same thing that apostle does while he's here. The same anointing that's on his life, we can do the exact same thing. Whatever's on this apostle, whatever man of God has put on this apostle, there are four things that you have to do in order to receive that mantle and operate in that mantle that the apostle has on him. First of all, you have to recognize, as part of this culture of honor, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Same thing with an apostle. So now, what you have to do, you have to recognize that we have an apostle in our midst. You have to recognize. That's the first thing you have to do. Secondly, you have to receive that he is an apostle. And so once you receive it, then you can honor it. See, and the third thing is you have to honor that apostle. And the fourth thing is that mantle that is on his life, you have to serve it. We have to serve that apostle. All the way through our scripture, God laid these principles down. And when he laid them down, he saw them. The apostles, when they followed Jesus, when they followed him, they recognized that who he was. When they asked, say, who do men say we are? I am. And Jesus, Peter say, thou art the Son of God. He say, and Jesus say, he said, man didn't reveal that to you. It didn't come from the natural. He said, my Father, which are in heaven, reveal that to you. And he said, and upon this, he said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against. So Jesus had a mantle on him. And so they recognized that mantle. And when they recognized that mantle that was on him, they began to receive it. And they honored him who he was. And when they honored who he was, they began to serve him. Wherever Jesus went, they served him. They went with him. And so if we follow those are some principles that you can operate in. And you're not an apostle, but the same mantle that's up on this apostle's life, you can operate in that same. You can operate in that apostolic anointing. If you see the man of God walking around and he laying hands on people, that mantle, if you're serving him and doing those things, that mantle can come off on you and you can do the exact same thing that he does. If he's teaching, that mantle that's on him, that teaching mantle will come off on you. If even the prosperity mantle is on him, that same mantle will be on you because you are, that's the way God said it. You go back and you look at Elijah and Elijah. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I want to go to all these scriptures. But if you see Elijah and Elijah, he followed Elijah. Wherever he went, whatever he did, he followed him. And so what happened? He asked him, the apostle, the prophet asked him, he said, what can I do for you? He said, I want a double portion of the anointing that's on your life. And so because he had did what he did, he recognized that he was a prophet. You know, he had those other prophets that was following around too. And they weren't doing those things. So the mantle that was on him, they did not get because they didn't follow those principles. And so when that prophet left, and he said, one of the things he told me, he said, if you see me when I leave, he said, you can have that double portion of anointing. And, you know, the fiery chariots came by, but he went up in a whirlwind, Elijah did. But he saw him when he left, and he dropped that mantle. And when he dropped that mantle, Elisha picked that mantle up. And he wanted to know what he had. We all want to know when we get a mantle on us, we want to know what we got. So in order for us to know what we got, we got to use it. We got to go out and say, what do I have? What have God put on me? And so first thing he did, went out and struck that water. And when he struck the water, just like they went over on that water, the water parted, Elijah did the exact same thing. So he had received that double portion of that anointing. And so when what he did receive, he got the exact same thing that mantle that Elijah had on him. So God sets these principles in the Bible for us to follow. And if we do those things that which he say we can do, then we can operate just like the Bible says we did. That's what he want us to do. He want us to operate. He want us to manifest. He want to show forth his glory in the earth realm. He wants to find some individuals who are going to believe the word of God and act on the word of God and see how this kingdom operates, this kingdom that's with this mighty kingdom. We was created in the image of God. He said, and so that was the first position. Adam lost it, but Jesus came back and gave it back to us and put us back in that exact position that we were in the Garden of Eden with dominion over every phase of this operation. A successful revival culture has teachers who are perpetuating the supernatural in it. Supernatural means that it's outside of the realm of the natural. And so that's why, you know, when we teach, we have to be able to teach about the supernatural. If we're not teaching that the supernatural is for the body of Christ, then we are not perpetuating the supernatural in the body of Christ. That's what God said. I'm a supernatural God. The kingdom is a supernatural kingdom. The church is a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God. And so if all that is true, then we should be operating in the supernatural. We should be operating in God's glory the way God set it up. He said, my glory is going to fill the earth. And the only way it's going to fill the earth, he's going to find individuals who are going to operate the way he set it up from the beginning. So a successful revival culture has teachers in it who are perpetuating the supernatural in it. And so that's not all about the teachers, but that's all I'm going to give you right now about the teachers. So what we're going to do now, we're going to go to the fourth aspect of this fivefold ministry gift. It's the pastors. And like I said, I just want to cover these areas. After this exam, we're going to move into some other areas in the culture of honor that we need to be able to see. Where do pastors fit in? This leader will make sure that the needs of the people are met. So over in Acts, turn to Acts chapter 6. I'm going to make another statement here, and hold your finger in Acts chapter 6. This leader will make sure that the needs of the people are met. The pastor will make sure that the needs of the people are met. They will ensure that they are civilized and safe. So that's part of the pastor's role, is to make sure they are civilized and safe. Let's see how God thinks about it. Turn to Jeremiah right quick. Hold your finger in the book of Acts and we'll get back there, but turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, looking at verse 15. You can underline it, you can highlight it, however you want to do it. And the prophet Jeremiah, he spoke, he said, and I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So that's one of a characteristic of a pastor. He shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That means, what are you feeding your knowledge and understanding? Understanding what the kingdom is. Understanding what the kingdom is about. He should be feeding his flock so they can know. He's making sure that they are, that their needs are met. And so he's going to feed them with knowledge and understanding. Again, let's look at another scripture here in Acts chapter 20. This is referring to the pastor in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Let's read 27. It says, in 27, he said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then verse 28 says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over thee which the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So first of all, he says he's going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so the Holy Spirit has took the pastor and made him the overseer of the body of Christ. He's the under shepherd per se. And so he's going to lead the sheep into places that they need, into green pastures. But in order for a pastor to operate in this culture, this supernatural culture, they still have to be under the umbrella of the apostle and the prophet, just the way God set it up. If we're not set it up, again, if we're not set up the way God set it up from the beginning, and we can see the body of Christ, we can see ministries where most of the ministries that we have are set up in that where there is no apostolic or prophetic government that's over them. And so what we basically have in the body of Christ is the pastor who's in charge, but they are only concerned about the people. And so because they are concerned about the people, we're not seeing. Because of the mercy of God, we do see just a little bit. But we are not seeing the manifestations of God's glory the way we see it. And in the Bible, it said Jesus healed them all. And my thing was, when I was growing up, and I would go to church, and the enemy come in, and someone had cancer, and the Bible said Jesus healed them all. But if someone received cancer, then that person would die with cancer, and they would die quoting scripture. To me, that was something, wrong with that. Why was these not being manifested the way the Word of God say they should have been manifesting? God, we know that God is not a liar. We know that if he said it, he'd make it good. Isaiah 54 says that if the Word of God should not return to him void, but it's going to prosper in the thing where he sent it. And he said, I sent my word to heal them. So if I sent my word to heal them, why was this not happening? Because the government, God's government, was not set up the way God set it up from the beginning. I gave them apostles, I gave them prophets, then I gave them teachers, and then I began to see signs and wonders, and I seen miracles. But God, and again, these apostles and the prophets, the way God set it up, is hearing from heaven and finding out what it is that heaven wants. And when they find out what heaven wants, and then they begin to implement it in the church. In an apostolic environment, a supernatural environment, there should be always progressive revelation. It should be ongoing. And we who are in the body of Christ has basically set up monuments. That means that once you set a monument, the monument is not going to move. It's not going anywhere. It's going to stand still. It's like a stone. So it's sitting there. But as long as we are under this apostolic and this prophetic government, God's government is going. God going to always be moving. He's forever moving. He's not standing still. And so he's going places, taking the body of Christ to places they've never been before. We have to understand that. I probably mentioned this once before, but I'm an old Star Trek fan. I watched all the Star Trek band. And when it used to come on, it say, these are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. And they're going to places that no man has gone before. And saying, when I think about where we are going, I think that, with Word Like Christian Center, where God is taking us right now, we are going places that no man has gone before, because we have set up God's government in the earth realm, the way God set it up. And because we have, then a guy going to take us. He going to do it. We just, all we have to do is sit back and flow with him and believe that he's going to do these things and just ride along with him. It's going to be awesome. It's awesome what God is doing right now in the earth realm. Let's turn to another scripture. Let's turn to John chapter 20. We're going to go to Acts 6, but we're going to John right now. John 21. Going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Over here in John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, that was after Jesus was getting ready to go and they did everything. He said, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. And so he was talking about the ones who had not matured. Make sure that you feed them with knowledge and understanding. And so he goes on to say, he said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And so not once you grow up, once you mature, you can't just stop because you think you got some revelation or you knew a few scriptures. The kingdom of God is forever progressing. You never reach the end of the things of God. So we're always growing. We're always learning. We are forever learning in the kingdom of God. Once you get to the point you think that you know it all, you've got out the rim of the kingdom and you got out of the rim of God, because God said there's so much more. And so that's why, again, our apostle, he's constantly studying. He's constantly finding out what it is that heaven wants here. Even as much revelation as God's given, he won't stop at that revelation which we got. He want to continue to find out what's more. There's got to be, God is a massive, awesome God. And so we probably have not even dropping a drop in the ocean of the things that God knows and the things that God has revealed to us. And so we who are ministering, we have to find out, continue to seek God and find out what it is God wants, how you want us to do it, Lord. And we have to continue to follow him. And whatever he revealed to us, we just can't stop, because we learn over in Hebrews, it said, get on past the elemental things, the things of laying of a hand. That's easy. That's the easy part. Get on to some more things. There's a lot more that we who are in the body of Christ have to be able to do. And so God want us to do that. And so he say, feed my sheep. And so verse 17, I just want to read that part anyway. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And so what he was telling me, he had denied him three times. Peter told him he was going to die with him. He was going to do all these things. But when he got ready to go to the cross, Peter, he denied him. He said, throw the cock, crow three times. He said, you would deny me. And so he did. But he wanted to make sure that when he left the assignment back for the body of Christ, these apostles and these prophets and these disciples, that he had put the kingdom in their hand to pass it on to the body of Christ, that they would do the things that he wants them to do. So he said, told them three times, make sure you feed my sheep. He said twice, feed my sheep, so they can learn, so they can have understanding. And as they point, as the teachers and the pastors point things out to the scripture, then that individual can go and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things unto them. Let's look. Give you some more pointers here. When the issue become long-term survival, the people will look for pastoral anointing in their leaders. And so, what I wanted to do was read this one scripture in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, it says, beginning at verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. He said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that was the one. The apostles said, we're going to stay seeking God. We're going to stay in prayer. We're going to stay finding out what it is that God wants, and we're going to continue to minister the word. And so they found under shepherds to go out and take care of the daily ministration of the body. And so that's what pastors basically should be doing. But they should be operating under an apostolic anointing. When they operate under this apostolic anointing, then you find out that the supernatural is also manifested. We found out that at least two of the ones that they appointed over this daily administration, that was Philip, who went out and he was doing the same thing that the apostle was doing. He was holding a evangelistic meeting. God called him to go down and talk to the eunuch on the carriage. And so he got, you know, I'd say a whole continent saved because he followed what the God told him to do. And so you find out, if you read through those scriptures, I'm not going to read it right now. If you read through those scriptures, you find out Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and he was doing the exact same thing. He was not an apostle, but he was operating under an apostolic anointing. And so when we are called by God for an assignment and we operate under that apostolic anointing, the same thing that's on an apostle's life, on that prophet's life, we can operate in that same, on that same mantle that they did. If the pastor are not connected to the apostles and the prophets, then their leadership will only lead back to a self-focus. And so when they go back and they lead the people back to a self-focus, and the pastor will have to give them a natural alternative to a supernatural lifestyle. This is straight out of the book. When a pastoral anointing is the primary leader, the people expect to be the center of the universe. So they expect to be the center of the universe, so then they're not looking to God as their source. They're looking to themselves as their source. We need a meditation scripture for this class. That's about as much as we're going to get from this. Turn to Acts chapter 28. We'll make that our meditation scripture for this particular class. It always is good to have a meditation scripture so we can continue to do what the book of Joshua says. This book of the law should not depart out of our eyes and out of our mouth, but we should meditate in it day and night. Then we make our way prosperous and we should have good success. So Acts 20:28 should be our meditation scripture for this particular class. And next week is exam week, so we'll follow Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over thee which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And so that's the cross, that's the Holy Spirit all in one there. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father. Father, we thank you that as you've given to us, we've given to your people. And Father God, we're no longer just hearers, but we're doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all can report downstairs to the auditorium. That's where your next class is going to be, in the auditorium. Amen. Next week is exam week. Yeah, and probably be on the three exams from this class, so everybody should know. You know, I just go through and the stuff we covered is the pertinent information. So do the three quizzes. I put it up on the syllabus on the internet so you can see it, but it's probably be the three. I think we only had three quizzes. Well, this one will be the third quiz. So, all right. Yes. All right. Thanks.